When attempting to find a home for a child in foster care, the preference is to find willing and able family members, but these kinship placements can be undermined if a potential parent has a criminal background. And it's these state restrictions, which are the subject of a recent federal lawsuit, that argues kids are being kept out of safe and loving homes. For more on the challenge and the current state laws and practices governing foster care in New York, we're joined by Kate Wood, a staff attorney with the Juvenile Rights Practices Special Litigation Unit at the Legal Aid Society, which filed the lawsuit. Thanks for joining us, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what is it about the state's current laws or practices governing foster care that are keeping some New Yorkers from being foster parents for their blood relatives?
Yeah, so when children are removed from their parents, right, it's often a very traumatizing time. They're sort of removed from everything known and comforting for an indefinite period of time. And everyone agrees, right? The city, New York City agrees, the state agrees that children are best placed with kin, with family members for obvious reasons, right? It's another familiar, loving environment that can provide comfort and continuity at this time of upheaval. Unfortunately, under current state law, if that relative who steps forward to be a foster parent for the child has a certain conviction, under state law, they are not permitted to be a foster parent. So there's a set of mandatory disqualifying crimes that would automatically prohibit them from being a foster parent. And that is regardless of how long ago that conviction is from. So we have children who've been denied foster placement with kin based on a relative's conviction from 30 years ago, for example. And it also doesn't matter, right, what kind of rehabilitation the person has gone through or who they are today, you know, whether they are able to provide a safe and loving home for the child. So there's this set, like I mentioned, of mandatory disqualifying convictions. And then in addition to that, if the relative who steps forward has any criminal history from any point in their life, and that history can include a charge, so not just convictions, and if that is not on this mandatory list, then there still is the right under current practice to deny that foster parent. So really any time the relative has some kind of criminal history, they either will be, must be, or can be denied as foster placement for the child.
When we talk about some of the convictions that would be automatic disqualifiers, I have to imagine some of the more serious offenses like rape or murder are obviously going to be considered. But are there, I guess, less serious offenses that would automatically disqualify someone that is seen as potentially problematic for Legal Aid Society?
Yeah, so the list of mandatory disqualifying convictions is really broad and expansive, especially compared to other states. New York has a very broad list. It covers 300 different types of convictions. And like you mentioned, it includes some that you might automatically think of for these purposes that could be a concern, but it also includes convictions that are for crimes that have very broad definitions. Burglary, for example, can be, you know, a person can be charged with burglary in lots of different circumstances. And it also is broad in the sense that it can be a conviction from, like I mentioned, a very long time ago. So it can be something that happened, since a person went through 20 plus years ago and doesn't reflect the person that they are today. And so what we're really seeking is that each relative that comes forward to provide a home for the child is given an individualized, meaningful evaluation of their current ability to care for the child.
And is that timeline that's in place, that, you know, lack of any sort of statute of limitations, is that a product of existing law, or is that simply how the law is being either interpreted or administered by state or local officials?
So it is current state law. Part of it is based on a requirement put in place for states to receive federal funding. Mm-hmm. But the way that New York interprets that federal funding requirement is expansive, right? And so they've created this very long list of convictions that can apply to these relatives. And included on that list are also convictions for drug-related offenses. Those offenses do have a five-year timeline, so it would have to be more recent, but they still are included as automatic disqualifiers. And given all of the reform that's gone on related to particularly possession offenses, we also find that part of the state law particularly problematic.
How often do these state laws and policies governing the foster care placement result in a kid actually being denied a placement with a family member? Is this something that happens once in a blue moon, or is this happening on a regular basis?
No, unfortunately, this happens routinely. Our clients are routinely denied homes with these relatives based on some sort of criminal history. And even when there is the ability to use discretion, right, to certify, if it's not one of these mandatory exclusionary convictions, and the local agency can use their discretion to provide foster parent certification for the child and the family, they often will treat it as an automatic disqualifier and not use their discretion to really examine the relative ability to care for the child. This whole system really perpetuates the racial injustices of the criminal legal system and the child welfare system, right? Systems that have routinely policed and monitored families of color and disproportionately impact Black and brown children. And so many of our clients and the families that are represented in this lawsuit are poor. They're living at or below the poverty line. They are Black and brown children, and they are routinely denied these placements and thrust back into stranger foster care, group care, where there is sort of a host of negative consequences for the child as compared to placement with that relative that they know and love.
In case listeners are just joining us, we're talking with Kate Wood of the Legal Aid Society, which brought a lawsuit challenging the foster care placement laws and practices in New York. In addition to that issue of the placement of a kid in a kinship situation, there's also the issue of getting that official foster parent designation. Why does that matter so much in terms of an ability of a family member to raise someone who's not necessarily their child?
Yeah, foster parent certification is incredibly important to these families and incredibly beneficial to the child. When a relative receives foster parent certification, the child is provided with, you know, first and foremost, financial support to provide for that child as they are growing up. So it's a monthly payment, but in addition to that, it's covering clothing and school-related expenses and all of the, you know, miscellaneous expenses of growing up. And then in addition to the financial aspect, there's also a host of services that are provided to a child when they're in a certified foster home, including the coordination, the provision of services for the child's medical, mental health, educational needs. They are also automatically eligible for Medicaid, which can be extremely helpful for these children in ensuring that they get the services that they need. So when a relative is denied as a foster parent, the child is denied all of the supports and services that go along with that.
So the situation you're describing sounds very unfair, very unfortunate. What is it about it, though, either the state law or the implementation of the state law, that makes it illegal and the subject of a lawsuit?
Yeah, so we are bringing this lawsuit on behalf of these children who have been denied. We believe that the state law not only deprives them of the right to family association, to their right to be with their family, but it also denies them their due process rights, denies children their right to, first of all, be notified that there has been a denial and the reasons for the denial of their relative, and an opportunity to challenge that. So children are fortunate enough in New York to be represented by attorneys in family court proceedings. And so we really are seeking an opportunity to have children be able to to challenge the denials of these certifications for their relatives.
You talked about implementing a system that relies on individualized assessments as opposed to these broad blanket reviews. Does the state or local agencies that might be administering this have the capacity to do those kind of individualized assessments currently, or would there need to be an investment in funding to make this happen in a meaningful and timely way?
Well, you know, in certain circumstances, they are supposed to be providing these individualized assessments. So in circumstances where they have the discretion, where it's a non-mandatory conviction that a relative has, they are supposed to already be doing these evaluations. So they should have the capacity to do it. Unfortunately, like I mentioned, we see them failing to do so. And we also see a failure at the state level in providing any kind of guidance in the use of this discretion and oversight of the foster parent certification process to ensure that relatives aren't just being routinely denied without evaluation. So if there is a need to expand capacity in order to fulfill their duties, we think that would be absolutely necessary on the state and the locality's part to be able to ensure that children are being placed with relatives when they can in safe and loving homes.
So what's the resolution that you envision with this lawsuit? Are you looking for a judge, say, to direct a certain action, or are you hoping that this merely by being filed prompts action by the Hochul administration or officials in New York City?
It would always be great to be able to work with state and local leaders in order to come to a resolution. But we're seeking through the lawsuit for the state law that mandates certain convictions be automatic disqualifiers, be ruled unconstitutional, and in its place for there to be a system where the state and the localities are providing these individualized, meaningful evaluations of relatives and are not placing undue weight on the relative's past. And that includes requiring that guidance and oversight at the state level and at the local level, and a notice and opportunity to children to challenge any denial that does occur.
And what's next for the case, and what sort of timeline are we looking at with this case?
The state and the city now have an opportunity to respond to our complaint. That should happen in the next 30 days, and then we will see where this goes.
As this legal proceeding happens, do you anticipate there will be any sort of negotiations between the Legal Aid Society and either the Hochul administration or government officials in New York City?
That is absolutely our hope. It's always our hope to be able to work collaboratively with the state and the city on these problems. We know, you know, that we all agree on the main principles at issue here, including the fact that children are better off with kin caregivers. And there has been a big push at the state level and nationally to recognize that it is better for children in foster care to be placed with relatives. And so I think we're all starting out with agreement on that, and hopefully we can build from there.
Well, we've been speaking with Kate Wood. She's a staff attorney with the Juvenile Rights Practices Special Litigation Unit at the Legal Aid Society. Kate, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.